And now, live from Level 5 Productions on the island of Milleronia, it's the Larry Miller Show! Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who hates to buy gifts. Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Larry Miller Show. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And boy, oh boy, is it a beautiful day here on Milleronia today. And, well, we're coming up to Christmas and Hanukkah. And you know what? You should love buying gifts. You should like to buy gifts. But more on that later. Oh, there's so much to talk to you about today. And it's a great time period. This is the time also that I tell you a couple of stories. Well, I always tell a couple of stories, I guess. But this is our special stories. And speaking of buying gifts and gift giving, and this is the story about, it's going to come a little later in the show, about what I finally got Uncle Arnie for Christmas, even though it was Hanukkah. But in any case, there's so much to tell you, by the way, and as always, the music makes me feel so good. It makes Colonel Jeff feel so good. And of course, that's the Darren McGavin Orchestra and the Lisa Kralasic Dancers featuring boy tenor Santa Claus asking the musical question, do any of you have any idea that I say other things besides ho, ho, ho? Well, no, no, no. We're not aware of that, and, well, with all affection, we don't care. We love you the way you are, and ho, ho, ho is good enough for us. And I think it is, by the way. And, of course, I just want to mention the reason we put in Lisa Kralasic as the head of the dancers today is because, well, she's a great fan and a great member of the Larry Miller Drinking Society, and she made a coaster that Colonel Jeff is using right now. She made it. It's based on a tile, I think that is, and not a huge one. It's a just right size tile, and she put the emblem of the Larry Miller Drinking Society right on it. I don't know how it's exact. I thought, well, if she painted that, she's a great artist. But Colonel Jeff thought also, well, though there are machines today where you can put it over something and put something under that, and it takes an electronic picture or something and enlarges it. And that's what she did. It's a great coaster. And we're very grateful. Thanks, Lisa. And I put Darren McGavin in there because he's a great actor. God bless him. He's passed on now. Oh, boy. You've seen Darren McGavin in so many movies and so many TV shows. And also, it being Christmas time, well, he's the dad in one of the greatest Christmas movies ever made, A Christmas Story, written by, it's from the stories of Gene Shepherd. Oh, the great Gene Shepherd. A terrific movie. And with Peter Billingsley as the star of it, as Ralphie. And I've worked with him too. He became a producer. I was on his show, Five for Dinner, I think was the name. A terrific show with Jon Favreau and, Penelope Ann Miller, who's just a great actress. And I, you know, certainly not that I'm in love with her, but boy, anyone could be. She's just so sweet and so talented. And at any rate, folks, Darren McGavin is in that movie, and he plays Ralphie's dad in A Christmas Story. And Darren McGavin was also in a movie I wrote that I was in, that I was the lead in, that I was the star in, a movie called Pros and Cons. And it's a good movie. Look it up sometime. You'll enjoy it. But I loved meeting Darren McGavin and working with him and thought, well, get a load of this guy. He keeps working and he's just so good in everything. He does drama and comedy. He does everything. And he lived in France on a houseboat with his wife And they just love to live that way in the little waterways going through Paris. And when he told me that, it's another moment where you think, get a load of you. How do you like that? So in any case, and yes, how do you have something without Santa Claus in it? Come on. You know, just come on. I've never understood why people get a little, a little short-fused with that. Well, wait a minute, Santa Claus, are you saying he really takes toys and gifts to everyone around the world? Yes. Now, how does that happen? I don't know. Is it magical? Of course it's magical. Just that's another moment we should all just relax and say, of course he does. Well, and they're all in the sleigh there? They're all in the back of the sleigh? Yes, they are. Stop being so cynical and just put a smile on your face. And, boy. So in any case, there's so much to tell you folks. And today we're going to skip, by the way, our commercials for everything. And I thought, and Colonel Jeff thought, you know what? This is a good time to just skip it for a week. And so we're not going to have the magic movie moment or the poetry corner or the joke of the week. But we have a lot of things. And I think this is going to be one of our great shows. Hope you like it. Folks, I want to tell you something. That if there's a better show that's ever been on TV than A Charlie Brown Christmas, I don't know what it is. I don't know how you could not just adore that show. And, it gives so much. There's humor, but it's so touching. And there's religion in it, too. And don't go running for the hills. Remember, it's a religious holiday. But, that movie, A Charlie Brown Christmas, and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Or is it that in there? The Grinch That Stole Christmas, based on the great Dr. Seuss poem. And, it reminds me that Boris Karloff plays the narrator. He voiced the narrator in The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And it's so great. Boris Karloff, that's another thing about it. You want to say, well, wait, didn't he play a lot of monsters? Why was he hired for that? Because he's terrific, you dope. You know, just leave it alone. Boy, Boris Karloff was great in that. The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And, by the way, the man who sang the song in it, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. His voice was 7 octaves lower than that. And that is, he's passed on now, but that was Thurl Ravenscroft, who was not only the voice of the narrator, he's passed on now, he died, he was 91 years old, and that was in 2005. So good for him. God bless him. He lived a long life there. And by the way, Colonel Jeff found out in the 1940s during World War II, he was one of the fellows in a group of singers called the Mellow Men. And I hadn't heard that name, the Mellow Men. That's another one of those names where you say, well, that's a great name, you know. What does it mean? I don't know. Yes, but all the gifts are in the back of the sleigh, and Mellow Men is a great name. So anyway, folks, last week, my wife and I and our kids started getting Christmas cards here and Hanukkah cards, too. And, well, it moved me. I kept saying to my wife, why don't we do this more? You know, this is such a nice thing to do. And one of the cards had a poem in it. And I was so touched by that poem, I wanted to read it to you now. It's written by a great man named Clement Clark Moore. And you all know the first line, but it's not often, maybe ever, you get to hear the rest. So here it is now. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap, when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. "Now, Dasher, now! Dancer, now! Prancer and Vixen! On, Comet, on! Cupid, on! Donder and Blitzen! To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall! Now dash away, dash away, dash away, all!" As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys was flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink in his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprung to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew, like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." So anyway, folks, I have a story to tell you first that doesn't on the surface have anything to do with, well, the big high holy days. And it makes me laugh again every time people insist on saying high holidays or have a good holiday. You know, it's not... I don't know what they're trying to dodge around, maybe something to do with religion there, but, you know, the word holiday is based on holy day. And I never know why people didn't, you know, just love to say that. We can say, you know what, just why don't we stick with Christmas and Hanukkah? How about that? That seemed to work for a couple of thousand years. I think it can work for a couple of thousand more. But the other day, back on the mainland, after we did our show, the colonel couldn't make it for lunch. And I said, well, I always like to go out for lunch in my area there, within a mile or two. And Colonel Jeff suggested, and I had noticed, that a restaurant he and I had been to together called Goldie's, one run by a great fellow named Dennis, who started it based on his grandmother's cooking, and they had closed. He couldn't quite make a living there, and he sold it. It's now a Vietnamese restaurant called Let's Pho, which is kind of, it's another one under the name of, all right, if you say so, yeah, Let's Pho. The Pho is spelled P-H-O, and I think it's based on their soups, right? They're very big on soups. And I said, you know what? I think I'll go right there too. So I went to Let's Faux on my own there, and I walked in, and they've done a very, very good job of rebuilding the place and making it charming. And they were the nicest people. And the waiter came up. My waiter was about 60 years old, I guess. And he was just terrific. One of those guys never says a word. You know, he just doesn't need to say anything. And the menu was a little small in print, so I asked for his help. I said, "Why don't you just suggest something? You know, I just, because I can't read the menu here. It's a little, the print's a little too small." And he suggested a big bowl of pho that was with beef in it. And boy, that soup was, you know, dark brown, great restaurant soup. And, with some vegetables in it, and they had some things on the side there. So they give you a round, no, it's an oval silver plate. And on one side of that plate is the big bowl of pho. And on the other side is some, well, Vietnamese salad things. I don't know what the white things were that Jeff thought it might be, whatever the heck it is, some kind of a bean thing or something that's, these grow into, and they had those, so that was just those, and on top of that, there were three slices of green pepper, like bell pepper, and they were just thin slices, and I like that, I like green peppers, so I thought, all right, this is terrific, and they give you an egg roll next to that on another plate. It's not like a Chinese egg roll that's made stiff and crunchy, and those are great, but this one was soft and uncrunchy, but very good. And the point is, I'm eating my soup, and then I thought to myself as I'm going along there, you know what? I think I'd like a bite of the green bell pepper there. And because that's a good idea to me. And anyway, I thought, so I picked up one of those slices and just popped it in my mouth. Those are pretty big. They were about 3 or 4 inches in diameter. And I popped in and started chewing. And here's the interesting thing. Turns out it wasn't green bell pepper. It was some kind of Vietnamese spice monster that was sent from Jupiter. I don't know where those come from. But this was, folks, I'm telling you, I bit into that thing and started chewing it. And then about 3 seconds after I started chewing it, well, my head turned into the 5 o'clock whistle, you know, where it just goes. It was unbelievably hot, and it wasn't. I don't know what it was, but I was chewing it, and I picked up my glass of water there, and your body is starting to react to it. Go, your body is saying, "What are you, stupid?" But I chew it. I swallowed it, and I picked up the glass of water there, and I downed the glass of water. And the 60-year-old waiter saw me do this, and he picked up the, after I downed that water, he picked up the pitcher of water and shuffled over to my table and refilled my glass. And I downed that one pretty fast, and he filled it up again. He wasn't surprised by any of this. He knew, I think, good restaurants always know their customers, right? Well, I think in this case with the South Vietnamese pho restaurant, he knew that this guy knew, no, this is another bald man from the suburbs, and of course he's going to pop one of those things in his mouth that he thinks is a green bell pepper, but is not. And I, well, my eyes were just, whoa, tearing, and the skin on my head and the face and the arms, and it was, holy mackerel, folks. And I had another couple of sips of that water, and I thought, well, I don't need to do that again. That was stupid. I should have asked, hey, what's this thing? But I took a few deep breaths, and I went back to the soup, which was very good, and cut a few pieces of the meat in it, and that was good. And now here's a question that popped up into my head right then, and I'm going to put it in your heads right now. How stupid can men be when it comes to food? Well, as you all know, the answer is very, very stupid. I'm sure women can do this too, but this is more of a male way to live, to be stupid with food. So how stupid? Well, as I'm recovering from that slice of the dinosaur donut spice, whatever the heck I ate, I was thinking to myself, well, that was, you know, either should, I guess they're going to want to put labels on that, but I should ask, or the waiter should say to you, by the way, we're putting a very spicy thing on it there, you know, so you don't have to just pop the whole thing in your mouth like an idiot. And but there's really no way. And then I said to myself, as I'm thinking this, and as I'm sipping this soup again, I thought to myself, well, that was crazy anyway. And then I thought, boy, at least I'm not crazy enough to have a second one. And I think you already know what that means. The answer to the question, how stupid can men be? The answer is, that's how stupid. Because once you even think that, you're going to have it. Even the slice knows you're going to have it. You know I was going to have it. I know you would have it. There, you know, two more of these things lying there. So I said, then I began to think, it can't be as bad as the first one. That's just the way it is. It's because nothing could be that bad. In fact, probably be a little milder compared to it now that I've already had the first one. This is all stupid, of course. You're just so dumb. And sure enough, a minute or so later, I picked up the second one and popped it in my mouth. But this is how smart the waiter was, by the way. Even before I picked it up, he knew I was going to have the second one. And even before I picked it up, as my hand lifted to head to over there, he was already at the table with the pitcher of water. He started over to the table when he knew I was going to have the second one. And he knows his customers. He knows how stupid men can be. And you know what? I picked up the second one and popped that one in too, and expecting, you know, great victory and a way to analyze this a little bit. Folks, I popped that second one in my mouth and started chewing, and it was worse than the first. It was so much worse than the first. Used to it. You're not used to anything. It was crazy. Eating that second one, folks, it picked up right where the first one left off. Where the first one was that I was sort of conquering, now it just started there. And I began to sweat right through the clothes. Folks, I looked like a lounge singer in Vegas in the 50s. I was that sweaty in my clothes and on my head and the top of my head and my face. And now your whole face is turning colors, blue, green, orange. You know, it's unbelievable how horrible it is on the second one. And now, as I said, the waiter was already at the table. So when I drank another glass of water, he filled that right up again. And then I drank that one down. He filled that one up again. Then he filled it up a third time, and I drank that one down. And now you really start making sounds. How could you not make sounds? And if translated, they all mean, I'm the dumbest man ever. But I did that. And that's when I noticed, by the way, the whole rest of the restaurant, it was about 3 p.m, and it only had about 8 or 10 folks in there, and they were all men just like me. That's his demographic. That's the group he's going for. And there were two guys at one table. They could be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, but two guys at one table, and two guys on the other side at another table, and one guy at a third table, and his girlfriend was from South Vietnam, and she was one of the friends of the family who made this restaurant. So she was fine. She ate anything. She didn't care. She's been eating this stuff since she was 2 months old. And I noticed at that point, though, at each of the other guy tables, one of them was making the same sounds I was. At least one guy at each table was going, and then the waiter would come over with the pitcher again, and his friend would say to the waiter, that was the second one. And because it felt like some explanation was necessary. And the waiter just fills up everyone's water glass again. And that's how stupid a man can be. But is it? Or is there more stupidity? Of course there's more stupidity. And you know that. Now, having done it the second time, now you think to yourself, well, that was horrible. I was dumb for the first one, and then twice as dumb for the second one. But I can't be that stupid, because the third one must be fine. How would I think that? Why would I think that? And sure enough, 2 minutes later, after all that water, my eyes are just dripping and swollen with red sweat or whatever happens when you eat those things. And I'm telling you, my hands are shaking, moving, shaking, and I'm making sounds. And sure enough, I reached for the third one, knowing I could beat it and knowing that it would not beat me. In other words, wrong, completely wrong on every count. I took the third one. Now, just picking up the third one, before I even put it in my mouth, the waiter was already at my table with a full pitcher. And I glanced up and nodded at him. This guy was, again, just stoic. He was like a stone carving. Didn't move, didn't say a word. And I put that third one in my mouth and chewed it and chewed it and again took off right from the second one. Now, I could have done a chimp flip in the chair there, just vroom, and that's how insane it was. That's how horrible it was. And now I drank the water. He pours these right there. He poured it again. Another glass. You drink that. Poured it again. Drink that. Poured it again. Drink that. Five glasses of water. And it doesn't help. There must be something you could do to help that, but I don't think so. I think you have to be Vietnamese, and that'll help it. Again, they're 2 months old as a kid. They're eating those. Well, the great-great-grandmother, 97, she's eating those. They don't even blink. They're fine with it. But boy, I'll tell you, I've finished those three, and now I picked up the bowl of soup with my hands. Never mind the spoon. I picked it up, you know, and drank it like I was the chief of a tribe. And I drank out of that bowl just glug, 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 glug. Maybe that, maybe the beef, spicy, whatever the heck it is, will make this, will beat it a little, put out that fire. Folks, I'm telling you, I was as unhappy as I've ever been with food. But it's not the end of the world. It's not going to kill me. You just feel like the lunkhead you are. And I didn't finish the lunch. It was very good lunch. But you just get that feeling of, I don't think putting more things in my mouth is the best idea right now. And he brought the check. Thank you. You don't even say thank you. That was good. Thank you. I'm going to have to come back here. Because I was already looking forward to telling Colonel Jeff about this. Not hiding anything, but yeah. I told him today before the show, you know, and he said, absolutely. And then we know we'll, you know, next time we're back on the mainland, we'll go there for lunch. And as he already put it, is he not going to eat those? No, of course he's going to eat them. What about me? Am I going to leave them on the side? Of course not. I'm going to eat them again, too. Because that's what we do. And here's the great theme of the story. I picked up my younger son from school that day. And he's a senior in high school now. And on the drive home, I told him about that. I said, you know, because he knew the place Goldie's. He'd been to the place when it was Goldie's. And he knew it to change. He had changed to Let's Faux. And I told him the story. And about the three peppers, I said, it's unbelievable. I was crying and making sounds like a possum. I mean, I just, and he's laughing, he's smiling, and here's what happened. The next day, I'm still on the mainland here, and so is my family. The next day, I'm in my office where we broadcast from, and you know what? I hear someone going, And it didn't frighten me. I get scared of everything, but it didn't frighten me. It just sounded like, well, like a spice scream or something like that. And I went just to the bathroom next to my office here. And in there, you know, the door was closed. And in there, I knock on it. And my son, the high school senior, opens the door. And he's got a towel around him. And he's, and he's pink and blue. I mean, I said, what happened? Because the downstairs shower here has a steam room effect in it. It can turn into, you just turn a switch on. We had it put in when we had the things done in the house. And it's great to sit in. It makes it a steam room in the inside the shower there. You close the shower door and you sit there. You know, you're not wearing anything, no trunks, no towel. You just sit there. And it's fun to be in that thing, to take a steam. And what he thought, what my son thought was, because right out back, there's a door in the bathroom, a back door that goes right out to the backyard. And in the backyard, we have a pool. We have a pool, a cement pool. I remember, or the, a cement pond, as Jethro used to call it, and Jed. But he thought, hey, here's a good idea. I'll get all steamed up, and then I'll just go out the back door and jump in the pool and take a picture of myself. He had his phone with him, take a selfie of him hitting the water there. And he did that. But it was the worst thing that could have happened. It's just, he came out of that steam room when you're all steamed up, jumped in the pool, and of course you're holding the phone up so it doesn't get wet. And he said it was the most horrible thing he's ever done. It was so cold in that pool, coming from a steam room, that he and you have to make those sounds. And he paddled over to the side and walked up to the shallow area there and just you know, walked out of it. And again, he's not wearing trunks. We have a backyard with fence and bushes and things. And so now he comes kind of dashing back into the bathroom, puts the phone down on the sink counter and then and gets back in the shower where the steam is to try and de-cool yourself, de-freeze yourself. And that happens. You get there and you're sitting in the steam and, and eventually in another 2-3 minutes, you can breathe again. And then he did the same thing. He told me the same thing I did. He's sitting in there. He said to me, Dad, it was just like your Pepper story. That was from the day before. He's sitting in the steam room thinking, well, that was horrible. I didn't think that would happen. I wonder what it would be like to do it again. And that's another way of how dumb can men be. And he did. He warmed up again, and he's all warmed up, and he feels fine again. It doesn't feel bad. So he does it again. He darts out, picks up his phone, darts out the back door, jumps in the pool again, thinking, I'm probably used to it now. He wasn't. It was like diving into Lake Tahoe in the middle of February or any place in Minnesota. And, folks, he did it again from the pool. Just horrible. It was so horrible to do that. Did the same thing when you dashed back into the bathroom. Walked up the steps, got to the shallow end, walked out. You know, walked back into the bathroom there and put the phone down. Got back in the shower. Again, back in the shower when the steam is still steaming there. Folks, the same thing. 3-4 minutes later, he thought, well, you know what? That was nuts, but I think I can do it a third time, and I think maybe that'll be best. Does it again. Grabs his phone again. It's not even taking pictures anymore. Even the phone is angry with him. And now it jumps in the pool again. And, that was the one I heard. And so he's telling me this story with the towel around him in the bathroom there. And we both started laughing because he said, Dad, it was just like your story. And, you know, folks, we laughed and, well, thank God. He's fine. And nothing was wrong with him, but wasn't a bright thing to do. Same with me with those peppers. Wasn't a bright thing to do. But I know that when Colonel Jeff and I go to that restaurant, He's going to have him because he's interested now. His interest is peaked. And so is mine again. I'm going to have it again. What's that going to be like? Well, I'll tell you what. If you open your windows and listen very closely, you'll be able to hear us. I don't care whether you're halfway around the world or just on the other side of our country. You'll hear us when we have those peppers. I said, get a load of you, Aaron. I said, you're right. He said, yeah. So he, well, dried off, went upstairs, got dressed, and the rest of that day, though, he was thinking, whew, that was crazy. And you know what? Every so often when it comes to parents and children, you know how, what's the most traditional thing you can say when a child does something like, well, when a boy starts looking at girls, or when he says something, has a date for the first time or something, and parents always say something like, yeah, we don't know where he gets it. You know, that's that classic. We don't know where he gets it. Well, we know where he got this thing, to jump in that pool 3 times. We know where he gets that. And it's not from his mom's side. It's from his dad. And will he do that again? By God, I bet he will. I bet I will, too. One of these days, I'll be in that steam room, and I'll think, I wonder how cold that was. And I'll have probably a jar of those hot peppers in my pantry that I got from the Vietnamese restaurant, just in case I needed to warm up really fast. I might need them for this. But you know what? Let's foe. Yeah, let's foe. And I have a feeling, translated from the Vietnamese, let's foe means stop being so stupid. The great thing about stories like that, that makes them touching and funny, is that they're true. Those actually happened, and it made me feel great when my son told me, hey, it's just like you, Dad, because we may not do some, well, traditional father-son things like hunting and fishing, and we may not do all sorts of things like, hey, got to put a new water pump in the car. Look, let's go do it in the driveway. But this was all true, and it really makes me smile. And I hope it does for you, too. And now this is the once-a-year repeat of my Uncle Arnie story. And this is true, too. It was coming up to, well, to Christmas and Hanukkah, and I hadn't gotten anything for anyone. I hadn't gotten gifts. And, well, I'm not the best gift buyer in the world. Maybe no one is, but I hadn't gotten anything. We were about a week away, or a week and a half away, and I had a part in a movie that was shooting somewhere in the North Valley. So it's north and west of where we do live, well, in the San Fernando Valley. And I was coming back. I got off early that day from the movie, and I was coming back, and I hadn't had lunch, and there was a new mall, a big new mall with all sorts of stores in it, and it was on the way back home. It was still a ways away from my house there, and it was, I guess, about 10 or 15 miles north of here. And I said, you know, I don't even know why. I said, let's stop at this place. This is a new place. There's a new mall. Let me stop in here. And I'm sure it's the same with you. You walk through a new mall and, well, they don't even have all their stores filled anyway. They don't even have everything finished. In fact, there's a long way to go, but they're still open. I mean, whatever's there is there. They have a supermarket on the second floor. I went up to the second floor, by the way, and started just walking towards the back of the mall there. And there was one store open, and it was the only store in the whole area. It was the back there around the horseshoe end there of it. And there were no other stores around him. There were two or three store spaces that were boarded up that were going to be stores on one side and two or three more on the other side. And they weren't stores yet, but his place was open. And he sold music boxes. I know. Maybe you think the same thing I did. A music box? Who gets a music box? I don't even know really what a music box is. I guess they could be used for jewelry or high school rings or something like that. And they're made in different styles. I'd normally thought, well, I guess they're made of wood. And I guess maybe it's polished wood. Maybe it's shiny wood. But, of course, a real music box maker, and, well, he or she is an artist, too. And those folks want to make their things into something very meaningful for them. They turn it into high art. And this place was filled with music boxes. Nothing else. He sold music boxes, and I mean, oh, it wasn't the biggest store. I guess you could say it was 20 feet by 20 feet. But every single display, every single shelf, every single counter was filled with different music boxes, and he made a good job of it. He really designed the place the right way, and he set it up the right way, and he decorated it the right way, and he had a lot of music boxes. And the reason he did it all so well is because he did it with his family. His wife was there, and she was his partner in it, and their kids were there. They were already off of school, already on their Christmas vacations. And so they had four or five kids, and the kids were all aged 3 to age 12. And mom and dad were there. And grandma was there, too. They were in the back, and they would make lunch. And it was a kind of, you could smell it all over the place, because also they were Indians. And I mean from India. And they had great smiles, and they were very nice people. And they had big, big, thick accents, Indian accents. And there's no one in the store. Well, there's no one in the mall, by the way. The whole mall looked kind of empty, but they were new. And no one in this man's store. And he looked as happy as could be, though. He had his own store now, and it was something he really loved. And he had a good smile on his face. And he said to me, I walked in there to look and say, hey, what in the world is this place? And he said to me, come in, this is perfect for you. He said, do you need to buy gifts for the holidays, the happy holidays? And I was about to say, oh, why do I, it turns out I do, then, but I don't know if I'd want to get these. And instead, I looked at him for a second and said, wait a minute, it turns out I do. And maybe I should just get these. And I realized at that second, I had a list I made up in my pocket, because I knew one day, either coming off of work from this movie I was in, but or anything else, I knew it was time to have that list with me. I had all the names, 17 names for 17 gifts. And I had all their info with me. I had their addresses. And I had their phone numbers and their full names and their kids and everyone who needed a gift and everyone I was going to get a gift for. And I just stood there, looked at him for a second, and I said, finally, you know what? I do. Maybe I do. Maybe I can. And I started looking, swiveling my head, looking around. And he said, he was really happy to hear that. He was thrilled. Well, he's in business, and he has his own new business here. And I said, he called his wife out just for the good news that look, somebody was going to buy something. And his wife came out, and she was very sweet, and she's wiping her hands from the cooking, the food she was making. And you see, well, five or six kids' faces just stick out from the doorway there. And sitting on a chair in the back, I saw Grandma was there. And she comes out and smiles and nods. And I said to both of them there, do you mail gifts out? Can you mail them? And they got even happier. Yes, we do. We do. We can do everything because I have the addresses, I said, here. And I could send them all from here, from your store. And it's all, well, parcel post or, UPS. And they take it by plane and truck all over the country, and especially even at this time of year. And I said, let's do it. He said, how many, what do you want for your gift? He said, I need more than one. He said, how many? I said, 17. And he blinked a couple of times and just said, we can do it. We can do it. And I said, this is something I want you to know. I haven't gotten any gifts. And these are all of my gifts. But I want to get clean. I want to go clean here with you. That's the phrase I used. I don't know. I would never recall saying that before. And so I want to get every gift here and send them all from here. And I want to go clean. And he almost whispered like a religious ceremony. He said, I will get you clean. And we began to look, folks. And I had, oh, my goddaughter and all my friend Hamilton's kids and, whew, well, and my wife and her sister and their kids. We have boys and they have boys. But, you know, you can get almost anything in a great music box store, I guess. Folks, we got one that had angels on it and ballerinas dancing. And then another one that had, well, cowboys on it, you know, and... For my sons, and just we kept going, and I said he would look, and it didn't take that long. I mean, after about a minute, he said, "Here, when this one is the I," and I just interrupted him, and I just said, "We'll take that one. I want that one because." And he said, "Could you look? You go clean. You will go clean." And he really liked that phrase too. I said, "Yes, I want. I want to get clean here." And he, folks, he took each gift. And now the whole family there got into this. Every time we took a gift off the shelf that was going to be for someone I knew, he would hand it to his wife. She would call their kids out, and they began wrapping and padding it and using styrofoam and putting each one in its own box. And then, plus leaving them open because I wanted to send a card, a little note, even if it was just a piece of loose leaf paper. I wanted to send something there. You know, saying, hey, it's from me, it's from Larry, it's from Uncle Larry. And folks, they had a whole operation there. It was like, well, like making a car on an assembly line. Everybody did something else, and it was really, they were into it. I don't mean crazy. I don't mean with a really dark expression on their faces. They were having fun. This was their first big sale. This was their new store. And it was their first chance to, well, to go clean. And they wanted to do this very much. And we were. Folks, we did 17 gifts. And I did everything. And then said, great, how about this one? Yes, that's a good one. And because I asked him all about it. Well, this said it plays music. It can do this. It can do that. Can you change the recording? Can it be this or that? Is it something where it's just bells playing? It was all fine with me. Folks, 17 gifts I got there, and they were set up on their counter. They were wrapping them all, and they helped me. I wrote a note on each of them, and, oh, I put the note in the box. Then they taped it up with real traveling tape, and they did a great job at this, and they knew. They told me, he said, yes, we'll have someone come from Parcel Post, and we have not only the regular, the U.S. mail, but... Yes, oh, would have everyone getting it done the right way. And I said, we finally finished it. It was all done. And he said, are you clean? And he was really into it. And I said, you did it. You took me clean. You made me clean. And he was so happy. And the wife and the children and the grandmother had come out. And she was helping. And she was so happy. We all were. And I was. Now it's, oh, Lord, it's whatever it is, 3:30, 4 o'clock in a new mall in the north end of the valley. And he said, I'm so glad I could help you go clean. And I said, you know what, buddy? You did a great job here. I think you're going to have a great store. Whew, I can't believe it. Everyone. I got it for everyone. I said, shoo-wee. Boy, if only I'd gotten something for Uncle Arnie, too, because... But other than that, we're completely clean. I said the wrong thing. I looked over. I mentioned Uncle Arnie, and his face dropped, and his wife's face dropped, and all the kids and the grandmother, their faces dropped. And he said, Uncle Arnie, what is this? Who is this? And I said, I realized, why would I bring up that name? I was so happy. I was just wasn't thinking. I said, he, you know what? I said, thank you. We've done a great job. You've done a great job here. I'm done. And you know what, though? I can't get a music box for Uncle Arnie. That's the thing. I really, you know, can't. He said, yes, come, I'll help you. We'll find one for Uncle Arnie. And I said, you don't, he showed me one. It was like a pirates on it, but it's not Uncle Arnie. God bless him, is great. And this is a guy who fought in Spain in the '30s. This is a guy who was in World War II, was in the army. This is a guy who then, you know, became an artist and lived in Paris. And then he had, you know, had a patch on his eye. This is not something you're going to get. So, you know, you're not going to get him a music box. He's just not a music box. It could have pirates. It could have 10 pirates. It wouldn't matter. It's not right for Uncle Arnie. And he said, yes, help Uncle Arnie. I'll get something for him. And tell me something about Uncle Arnie. And he was really getting, you know, louder now. He didn't want to not be perfect. He said, I wanted you to be clean here. And I said, I am. Forgive me. I shouldn't have mentioned. Don't even think of, don't worry about Uncle Arnie. I'll get him something. He showed me another one that had, again, soldiers fighting. But, you know, because I said, he's a soldier. He did this and that. And, but again, it wasn't a music box type of guy. And God bless him. Uncle Arnie is now, he's 92 years old. And, you know, he lives in Brooklyn, and he's got a farm up in upstate New York he goes up to. And but you know what? It wasn't a music box type of guy. And I said, he kept pressing me. He said, what's this, something for him? Maybe a nice a cake. My wife can bake a cake for him. And I said, I'm so grateful. Trust me. No, we've done all we're going to do here. And, you know, this has been great. And I said, smile for me again the way you did before, and your whole wonderful family. You helped me here, and I am clean. You took me clean. And I have done everything, and we've sent to everyone. And but Uncle Arnie, I said, don't worry about him. I'll get something or other for him somewhere. Don't worry about him. And we shook hands, and I said, because they're going to send it all from there. I don't have to carry anything out. That's another miraculous thing. We bought everything. We addressed it. I sent a note in every box. And you know what? It was kind of perfect. And I could just walk out and stroll back to my car and say, how do you look like that? I'm glad I stopped at that new mall. But he was desolate that he hadn't gotten Uncle Arnie. And even his wife, too, and the children were still just like their parents, and so was the grandmother. We didn't get Uncle Arnie, though. And I said, thank you, and I smiled. I said, God bless you all. You did a great job today, and you're going to have a great success with this store. And I waved a little bit and walked out and started heading back down the mall, walking along the second floor, back the other way toward the cars. And, you know, I got up to where the supermarket was, and I thought about getting something, but I thought, you know, it's enough already, and I don't need anything. And then suddenly I heard from behind me the sound, the unmistakable sound of footsteps getting louder, running footsteps, and tap, 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 tap. And I turned around, and it was him again from the store, and he looked at me, and he took me by both arms and said, does he drink coffee? And I had to laugh at that. Does he drink coffee? Well, how does that help you? What would that? I thank you. God bless you. You're into it. But let's not worry about it. What could we get him some coffee, you mean, and we'll mail him that? And it just, I'll take care of Uncle Arnie. Relax. But that was his big climax. Does he drink coffee? Does he drink coffee? His mind was still working. And you know what, folks? Somebody asked me once, and a bunch of you, when I tell that every year, and it's a true story, and a bunch of you have written in to our website, and you've said, what did you get for Uncle Arnie that year? What did you get him? And you know what? I write back and just tell the truth, which is, I don't remember. I don't even remember. That story is about music boxes and a lonely new store in a lonely new mall run by a family who really wanted to go clean. And they did. One of these days, I don't even know where it is. It was kind of like a Wizard of Oz store in some place that maybe doesn't even quite exist, in between Munchkinland and Oz. But you know what? I wouldn't know where to go again to find it. I would know where that movie was made, but I wouldn't know where that mall was. So, you know what, folks? I hope you get the right gifts for everyone you love, and I hope you get the right gift from everyone you love. Family, friends, it's a great time of the year for that. There's nothing like Christmas or Hanukkah to give and get the best gifts in the world. They don't have to be fancy, but they have to be heartfelt. And I know that, and you know that. And in the end, turns out there was nothing more heartfelt to come from me than these terrific music boxes. And so you know what? That keeps you and me, folks, knowing the same things. Homer is Homer. Pluto is a planet. And so remember, as always, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. No matter what gifts you get, be well. And we'll see you here next time.